This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks. I'm here with Kevin Roberts, Product Evangelist at Kimball Applications. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Steve.
We're here at Kimball Connect, the user conference in the UK, and Kimball's within the Salesforce platform, but people buy Salesforce and they think they can develop it themselves. So there is a question of build versus buy. Why should they buy? And if they are going to build, how should they look to build? Is there a decision point, you think, between the two first, between buy and build?
Yeah, I think there is. Clearly, Salesforce, fantastic platform if you're going to start building your own homegrown apps, and you can extend from your core systems, particularly if you're building a system focused on the customer. But I think the decision when you come to buy those apps is you're coming to that vendor, yes, of course, for the application itself, but you're also coming to their domain expertise in a certain field. You look to buy a product, you're looking to say, what's their take? What's their advice on best practices? What are they seeing in the industry? Yeah, you've got your requirements, but the application vendor can bring their experience, and with them, the experience of all their customers as well. You're getting more than just an application. You're getting domain expertise in the industry, and you're getting the best practices that those applications bring.
Some organisations will feel they have their own best practices, though, don't they?
It depends on certain fields, particularly as business models are evolving so quickly. How we do something today is probably not a great starting point for many people as, okay, how are we going to build our systems in the future? The building applications helps you get very quickly up to speed as to what's happening as the best of the best in your industry. And can you take advantage of that? Gives you the ability to take advantage of that a lot quicker than if you have to, A, understand them, and then go and build those capabilities yourself.
We've got the option for buy or build. If you did decide to build, is there a strategy you should take?
Well, if you're going to build an application for the future, have you got a solid understanding of all the capabilities of what you want today and how it's going to go in the future? Yes, you're building applications, which is your secret sauce. But if the application you're going to run your core business on, only taking your current requirements could take you down into a blind alley or take you down a route that in 18 months, 2 years, 5 years' time, you'll decide, well, that's probably not a great way to go.
We're always hearing that the pace of change is increasing, don't we? New business models are coming in, so actually if you do go down your own rabbit hole, you might get stuck, mightn't you?
You can get stuck, yeah, exactly.
And obviously you decide actually building it myself is not the right solution. How do you differentiate between the different vendors out there? What have they done? How do you choose the right vendor who has looked at this holistically?
From an IT angle, I think IT are looking at what platforms they're going to build their applications at. At a broad level, are those applications fitting with that overall architecture? But also, if you're looking for vendors to bring their knowledge of the industry to bear, you're looking at the specialists. If your core business is, in Kimball's case, PSA, then a PSA module as part of a broad suite is probably not going to have the depth and breadth of a PSA solution that's there every day that organization gets up and thinks about what are their customers doing on that area, what are we building next, and they're bringing their own expertise to bear.
Kimball are not the only professional services application on the platform. What differentiates them from the rest?
There's a breadth of functionality and a depth of functionality that demonstrates they have a very clear vision, the end-to-end processes involved in running a services organisation. There's an application here from end-to-end, from the sales, from bidding, from delivery, for operations, the consultant experience, all the way through to management information. That's encapsulated in a single app, a single joined-up app with a single coherent data model. Other approaches is you break those functions into different areas and you end up with a sort of collection of apps, each doing different parts of that.
Functionality is one thing, and I think different vendors will argue they have more functionality than against each other. But it's not always about functionality in terms of the day-to-day process. It's also about the architecture, the compliance around that. What is important around that, and how do you look at making that choice?
There's a few things, an understanding of what is the impact of a particular business event. if we make an assignment of a consultant or a time card, or we schedule a resource, an understanding of how that ripples through the entire application, so that when you make a change over here on one side of the application, you can see it's immediately reflected in the rest of the business and it comes out in the forecasting. You don't then have to, outside of the application, start to have to do your own BI or your own reporting to make sense of what's going on. I think the other side of it is look fundamentally at what is the experience of using that app for the people at the sharp end of service delivery. Yeah, functionality may be equivalent, but what is the experience like for somebody who does submit time cards and someone who's doing expense reports? Is that a smooth process? Is that a process that's going to be adopted? Or is it a bit clunky and people try and avoid it? Again, that specialism and that domain expertise means they can really understand the role of the people out in the field doing the data gathering, delivering on the projects.
How important is mobile in that?
It's fundamental. Increasingly, the projects are delivered virtually, on the go. The information is discovered in meetings. So, yeah, mobile is key to that.
If you're looking for a new vendor, you need to make sure they've got the mobile app support. What are the key functionalities where you'd expect to see mobile functionality?
In the PSA space, certainly for the consultants, time card and expense report is fundamental. But for project managers, the ability to have a full visibility of project status, but be able to communicate with the customers and the subcontractors and the consultants in real time. As issues arise, they can take action wherever they are at the time. So there's a collaboration of all stakeholders in the project.
You talk about all stakeholders, but it comes down to that licensing issue, doesn't it? In terms of a Salesforce license can be quite expensive. So how do you extend that out to the customer's customer?
That's a great benefit of the Salesforce platform with communities, because Salesforce communities on the platform gives you that plumbing to be able to have the customer's customer invited in, not as a full user, not as a full login on the platform, but they've got community access where you can expose the information you want to collaborate with the customer on in a controlled way. But you can also expose information to subcontractors and associates, so they've got visibility to project status, they can submit time and expense. There's a lot of plumbing there to make that work in a secure way, so that's a great benefit of the Salesforce platform, because they've built that architecture to certainly the customer platform, but also that platform is used to partner communities and that sort of thing. Having built the applications on that platform, the exercise of deploying those becomes much more, well, what is it we want to expose and with who, rather than, well, we'd love to do it, but I've got to work out the plumbing and the security first.
Plumbing and security, you're almost talking about coding rather than clicks, and obviously Salesforce saying, oh, you can do everything by clicks, but it sounds like that's not always the case.
It's not always the case, and it's complicated, and then you lean on what Kimball have done a really nice job about, is they know the things you are likely to want to expose. They've built in the ability to basically set the switches to say which bits do you want to which customers, and they've built the security model so that the appropriate people can see what they need, but everything else is locked down. So yeah, that doesn't just fall out of a community if you were to build it yourself on the platform. But Kimball have accelerated that process by building a framework of how that can be exposed.
You're talking a matrix-style security, which is not available in Salesforce because it's just got a hierarchical security model.
Compare a CRM environment where I think it's quite clear who can see what. In a PSA environment, that can be complicated. You know, project managers can see across all their project portfolio. Consultants just see their own data. Subcontractors only see their own projects. That's quite a complex model, which doesn't fall out of the Salesforce security model, but Kimball have engineered it on top.
One of the challenges people see with their new platform and with Salesforce specifically sometimes is around the scalability it has, in terms of can it cope with the volume of transactions I'm going to push through it. Is that something that people should be concerned by?
They should be, and I think the onus is on the software developers to do their benchmarking and do their scalability testing and to simulate large volumes, because as we said before, these applications are transactionally much more complicated. When you apparently just create a single record in a form, actually the impact can ripple through and be hitting many objects. And that can rapidly hit standard platform limits. So you've got to be very smart about how you architect those applications. And again, I'm deeply impressed by Kimball's ability to model that and test that and demonstrate throughput.
How do they do that?
build their own testing frameworks and have orgs built so they can simulate 20,000 users and 1 million hours and those sorts of volumes. Short answer, it takes a lot of work.
I understand you're talking about Kimball Bridge today. Tell us a bit about that.
Again, a framework that Kimball have built on top of the platform. First of all, provides an engine to handle incoming transactions, so typical integration points may coming into PSA application might be time and expense or resource requests. But also then there's the typical integration points of basically handing off financial transactions for open receivables, or we're going to update HR systems or take inputs from them. Again, they've built that framework, but they've also built some pre-configured canned integrations for the most common applications they're seeing with their customers. Integration with Intacct Accounting or Workday for HR, whatever. That greatly accelerates the amount of effort to implement hooks to those applications during the implementation process. But again, hats off to the way it's been architected in that it's extensible. If there are applications you want to integrate that aren't in that standard catalogue, yep, you can, through metadata, configure what those look like. Create a very smart, industrial-strength, event-driven integration between the applications you want to connect Kimball with, whether it's on the platform or off the platform.
Has that got an underlying architecture like Salesforce Integration Cloud?
It's got its own architecture. So it's got an event-driven, metadata-driven architecture. It can be handling a simple level, just automatic input of CSV or export of CSV files. You can use SOAP web services architecture if you want to make it more of a real-time integration.
Kimball Bridge, is that a separate application, or does it take advantage of the Salesforce Integration Cloud, which used to be MuleSoft or Dellbumi or one of those other iPaaS platforms?
Yeah, it'll certainly play nicely with the Integration Cloud. It'll work nicely as an endpoint if you're going to use MuleSoft as your integration hub in your enterprise. Fine. And it's standard-based, web services-based, and it'll slot in nicely in that environment. If you're not ready to do that, or that's not something you want to do, the same integration architecture that Kimball have allows you to very quickly configure integrations with the common endpoints that Kimball sees, such as Intacct.
If you had Intacct, is there another side to that integration from within the Intacct that exists, or do you need to build that?
No, you don't need to build it. You can point standard connectors that Kimball have built to talk with your Intacct environment.
So they've done both ends effectively for you for those specific use cases?
Yeah, for those, but there's a common architecture.
Kimball released some new applications based on Einstein Analytics, the Resource Analyzer. Are we going to see more of those? Because Salesforce obviously made a fairly large acquisition recently in Tableau, and that potentially changes the whole future of what Salesforce is doing within analytics, doesn't it?
Back to my point about domain expertise, about what are the key performance metrics that you should be tracking running a services organization, and what things you might predict. Kimball have built that capability into their app, so they're not dependent on those add-on tools like Einstein Analytics or Tableau or whatever. The data's ready if somebody has a strategy that they want to use those tools, be able to suck that data in nicely. And they'll play nicely if you're building a balanced scorecard and pulling in information from other systems. But I think you should expect, when you're choosing your applications, that the key performance indicators, forecasting, the trends, alerts on what things you should be paying attention to should come out of the app itself. I don't think you should be reliant on those third-party apps to do it. But like many people, I'm fascinated to see what comes along with Tableau and how is that Einstein Analytics 2.0? I don't know. As that becomes clearer, I think Kimball have been a great place to use them. But I don't think Kimball needs them today to deliver outstanding BI, predictive, intelligent guidance in the apps, because they built that into the app itself.
The resource analyzer is based on Einstein Analytics.
I think that's showing what can be done. I think if somebody has an Einstein strategy, that will bootstrap that. They'll get them up and running quickly. Watch this space. I think a lot of people are thinking about that like that.
Thank you.
Okay.